Want to learn how to leverage your marketing to get clients on repeat? Charge a fee that leaves you with money in your pocket even after you've finished paying your bills? And finally, stop working with the clients that you've long outgrown? Liberated Business is a transformational program that combines group and one-on-one work so you get the best results possible. This differs from every other program out there because it helps you make money while supporting your joy and liberation throughout your entrepreneurial journey. Liberated Business starts this June and runs through November, and enrollment is open now. Visit thebadtherapist.coach/liberatedbusiness to get all of the details and sign up. DM me on Instagram @thebadtherapist with any questions or to learn more. I cannot wait to get started with you. Your potential clients are thinking of the issues they're facing in their own lives as problems. Otherwise, they would not be seeking help for them. They probably wouldn't be considering spending their precious time and hard-earned money on solving this and getting help if they didn't believe there was a problem in the first place. So again, if we're not really appreciating our potential clients' perspective and experience that they are having a problem in their lives right now, and we're just kind of glossing over that, rushing on to the next thing, we are not empathizing with them, and they are likely going to go look for someone else who can really convey to them that they understand the client's problem. Hey there, and welcome to The Bad Therapist Show, the podcast for current and aspiring private practice therapists who want to earn more money, work less, and have a way bigger impact. I'm your host, Felicia, The Bad Therapist, former goody-goody therapist turned six-figure private practice owner and therapist business coach. I'm here to help you learn everything you need to know about private practice and expanding beyond the one-to-one model so you can earn more money and increase your impact as a therapist without burning out or hustling. Using my proven liberated business method, therapists at all stages of business have been able to grow their income while becoming even better therapists. And I'm on a mission to help you do the same. It's time for you to get your time back and enjoy being a therapist again. You ready? Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to The Bad Therapist Show. I'm your host, Felicia, The Bad Therapist. Today, I'm sharing why you need to talk about your clients' problems in your marketing and what your potential clients experience when you don't do this. Next to money and fees, marketing is the biggest challenge therapists cite when they request to join my group, Healing Money. Today, we're going to get really specific on this one facet of marketing. You need to know how to talk about your potential clients' problems if you want them to go from just looking at your marketing or your website to actually booking a consultation. In this episode, I will teach you how. Let's get into it. When I say your potential clients' problems, I'm talking about the thing that's bothering them the most. This could be something that's harming their relationships, their career, finances, or their health, their internal well-being. And people often experience their own problems as highly specific and tangible. They might worry that they keep on dating people who treat them like crap and they want to figure out how to pick better partners. They're getting complaints from people at work and don't really understand what's going on or what to change. They feel depressed and they're watching the life they've worked so hard to build slip away. There are so many other problems that people face that inspire them to reach out for therapy and to get help, but hopefully just those vignettes gives you a sense of what I mean when I refer to your potential client's problem, because I'm going to be saying that phrase a lot today. Now, if it turns out that you can help people with those problems, you would think it would be pretty easy to just talk about those problems in your marketing. But we don't, or oftentimes therapists don't. And why is this the case? Well, I've heard a lot of therapists express worry that if they put too much emphasis on talking about their potential clients' problems, then that might be manipulative. One of my clients said they worried that if they talked about their clients' problems too much, it would sound something like a bad infomercial. It would sound like they were telling the public, "Hey, look at how shitty your life is. It really sucks, doesn't it? Just get therapy for me and everything will be better." It's really interesting talking with therapists about this because there is just so much worry about overdoing talking about the problem that we often just don't do it at all, or if we do, we brush over it very quickly. I want you to think about the last time you faced an important problem in your life and you really wanted help. My guess is that you were more attracted to providers, services, or products that really spoke to the problem you were facing. They probably spent time really painting a picture of what that experience was like for you. They empathized with the pain you were in. They didn't just gloss over it and rush to selling you the solution or pitching their service. They made it really clear that they understood where you were coming from first. And you may not have even realized that this was happening, but I urge you to go back and kind of look through maybe some of your most recent purchases and just check to see, was this person or product or service really speaking to the problem you were facing? Now, if you bought something or worked with somebody that you're already really, really familiar with, you maybe are warmed up enough that they don't actually have to talk about the problem so much. But if you're just looking for maybe a quick fix, you are probably really going to be hunting for those products that are going to solve your problem quickly and really convey to you that they understand where you're coming from. So that would be a really interesting experiment for you to go through just to see, like, what have your recent purchasing decisions looked like? And how have these brands or services or products really appealed to what you're dealing with and positioned their service, brand, or product as a thing that can help you solve it? Apart from worrying that we're going to be manipulative if we talk about our clients' problems, we sometimes think that we shouldn't even frame some of these issues as problems in the first place. We might even think that talking about these things as problems is in itself a problem. I feel like you could have caught me saying this before, like thinking about this as a problem is a problem. And if we could just have people stop thinking about their problems as problems, then they'd all be so much happier. And you know what? I might be right. You might be right about that on the grand scale, but I promise you that your potential clients are thinking of the issues they're facing in their own lives as problems. Otherwise, they would not be seeking help for them. They probably wouldn't be considering spending their precious time and hard-earned money on solving this and getting help if they didn't believe there was a problem in the first place. So again, if we're not really appreciating our potential client's perspective and experience that they are having a problem in their lives right now, and we're just kind of glossing over that, rushing on to the next thing, we are not empathizing with them, and they are likely going to go look for someone else who can really convey to them that they understand the client's problem. That is going to be a better use of their time. It's going to be a better use of their money, again, from their perspective. So the point is that if you don't meet your potential clients where they're at, in this place of like, this is bothering me so much that I want help with it, you are going to miss them in a huge way. Once the person is in therapy, then you can really unpack the issue and you can address the problem of calling things a problem. You can really help them unpack that. But let's just think about someone who's perusing therapists online. They don't have that amount of time with you. They're maybe looking at your website for a few seconds. And in those few seconds, you should really be empathizing with the experience that they're having right now. That's going to be a way to engage them so that they're actually willing to spend a few more minutes on your website to learn a bit more. But if the first thing that they see on your website is kind of like some sort of message of like, oh, you think your problem is this, but that's not even that important because wholeness and wellness is more important, you are totally missing the point. You need to empathize with their problem. I'm not saying that's the only thing that should be on your website. I'm not saying you need to be hitting them over the head with that, but I do think you need to spend time on it. And if you're not, this could be one of the reasons why people are going to your website or seeing your stuff on Instagram and they're not actually taking that next step of reaching out to you. Something that can get in the way of us talking about our potential clients' problems on our marketing materials is our "I know better" attitude. This can be very well intentioned, but we're getting in our own way when we do this. And I'm going to unpack what I mean by that by way of sharing an example. So let's say that a person seeking therapy wants help because they keep on drinking and then getting into arguments with their partner. You, as a therapist, happen to be actually really great at helping people who are dealing with this kind of problem, people who are drinking and like it's not working out well for them. You have a great track record. The clients that work with you love working with you. Their lives are improving, and not just around drinking, but around all of these other parts of their lives as well. Like in general, they're becoming more integrated, more loving to themselves. And this is actually what you are the most excited about. You are really excited about this integration, this wholeness, this self-love cultivation. And so that is what you lead with on your website and your marketing. You talk about how like drinking isn't even the biggest issue. The real issue is that they don't have self-love and that they're disintegrated. And you can help your clients become more whole with this approach and that modality and all of these different trainings you've had. This is what I see on a lot of therapists' website. They may mention the problem a little bit, but they very quickly move on to all of these more esoteric issues. And again, it's not that you can't mention that. And it's obviously not that those things aren't important. They totally are. But you need to think of it like you are putting a sign on your door that says, hey, if this is your problem, you found the right person. That sign should be pretty specific. It should be associated with solving a particular problem. Once someone walks through that door, then it's like everything becomes possible. So much can change through therapy. I mean, it's very rare that we work with a client who comes in for a specific issue and that's all we do, because we know people are people. They're whole, they're connected. And when one thing is not working in their lives, it's not isolated. And we're going to need to help them make changes all over their life in a bunch of different areas. And of course, that is going to lead to a deeper sense of acceptance and love and compassion. You can put those things on your website, but if you are not really putting a sign on your door that says, hey, if this is your problem, you found the right person, then those people who are perusing therapists and maybe are just doing a Google search, it's not like they have some word of mouth personal connection, like they literally are finding out about you for the first time, you aren't going to connect with as many of those people. A lot of those people are going to bounce off if you don't give time and attention to really addressing the problem they're facing and conveying that you get it. We get caught up talking about concepts like wholeness, integration, self-worth, or we go down rabbit holes espousing about our modalities and trainings. Like I said, there is a place for some of this in your marketing, but if this is the only thing you're doing and you're not talking about your potential client's problem, then you're asking them to do like a lot of work to connect their problem with all of these other things that you're spending tons of time talking about. And they're just much more likely to bounce off of your website or your Instagram page or wherever you're marketing your practice and go find someone else that gets them. Talking about your client's problem isn't manipulative. It's the first moment. It's our first opportunity where we convey to them that we see them. We appreciate the pain they're in as they experience it right now. And we genuinely want to help them. If you had all the time in the world with your potential clients, this wouldn't be as important. Like I said, if they're a word of mouth referral, if they have a person in their lives that they already trust, and then this person refers you to that client, that's going to do a lot of heavy lifting for you. But if that's not the case, and this is the first time they're encountering your work, then you have a few seconds to make an impression and then to continue the conversation. What you do with those few seconds should connect to the experience they're having right now. So do a check. Are you talking about your potential clients' problems in your marketing? If your answer is no, or I don't know, or honestly, even if it's yes, I'm going to walk you through what to do next. Because even if you think you're doing this, it is always a good idea to periodically go back through your marketing and just double check, like, am I putting enough emphasis on this? Am I really clear about the problem I'm helping my client solve? If you're not, like, we need to do some work around that. And now I'm going to help you see how you can lean into your marketing without being manipulative or sleazy. First, I want you to answer these questions. Do you think therapy is helpful in general? Do you think therapy with you specifically is helpful? This might seem kind of like an odd question because you're like, well, I mean, wait, why would you even ask me that? What are you trying to say? But if you've never asked yourself this question, just be curious what shows up. If you truly believe that therapy is helpful and that working with you is helpful, then you shouldn't feel qualms about marketing your work. I mean, that's not really accurate. That's not really true. Like, I'm not telling you, you like shouldn't feel what you feel. But if you're feeling weird about marketing your practice, I would look in to see, like, are you questioning how helpful this is? If you feel like you're not totally sure how helpful this is, that may be a barrier that you didn't even realize was getting in the way of you really leaning into your marketing. If you truly believe in the power of therapy and that working with you as a therapist is genuinely helpful to people, then that should lead to bold marketing in your practice, because the more people who know about your work, the more people who can get help. And ironically, one of the reasons you might not feel totally confident saying, hey, therapy with me is helpful and I think you should spend some time with me, is if you don't know what problem you're helping clients solve. If you're really vague about that, then you might also be vague about how you actually help them. So this can become a self-perpetuating cycle. You're not sure what problem you're solving, so you're not sure how you help people. And because you're not sure how you help people, you don't talk about the client's problem in your marketing, and you don't even feel comfortable really marketing. You feel this weird sense of being manipulative. You feel shy. You're not really sure what you're doing. If you feel some grittiness answering those questions, then your first step is to do some mindset work around that. It's totally okay if you don't feel a solid, unequivocal yes to those questions. You may not have actually ever asked yourself that before. But like I said, it's going to be really hard for you to go all in on your marketing if you're not 100% convinced that therapy with you is helpful. So what I want you to do right now is click the link in the show notes to join Healing Money. This is my free Facebook group that has tons of resources in it, including a course on mindset. So after you listen to this podcast, follow the instructions that you got via email to join the group. And then once you're in, go check out the Daily Mindset course. This is going to be incredibly helpful to you. And even if you feel like you're listening to this and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so great. Felicia's talking about all this stuff and I feel like I'm totally nailing it. I don't actually need help with this. This is just more confirmation of what an amazing job I'm doing in my marketing. There may be other aspects of your practice where you could use some mindset work. So either way, you've got nothing to lose here. I would really encourage you to like make that a part of running your business. If you don't have a mindset practice, it's super freaking helpful. So go get it. The next step after cultivating confidence in your services is to go all in on your marketing. If you believe that people will be helped through working with you, then you need to help them get access to your services. And that starts with them encountering your marketing. People need to encounter your marketing and take the next step to fill out a form or book a consultation call with you. Your consultation call or screening call, which is how I approach it more, is the insurance policy that you can use to refer people out who get through that first stage of your marketing, but just really aren't a good fit for you and your practice. So as long as you fully trust yourself to refer out people that you believe you can't help, then there shouldn't be anything holding you back from going all in on your marketing, talking about your client's problem, and sharing in clear language how you can help them with that problem. So that begs the question, how exactly do you talk about your client's problems in your marketing? I'm going to rely heavily on Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller because this has great messaging framework for pretty much any business. I reference this book and this framework a lot on the podcast, and I recommend it to all of my private clients. I've got the link down in the show notes if you'd like to get it for yourself. Like I said, I highly recommend it. I'm not going to be covering everything in the book, but I am going to highlight a few different points that I think are really important to get right if you get nothing else right. The first thing that you need to do in all of your marketing is really center your potential client's experience. Your marketing should be about your client's journey. Now, this might seem obvious, but a lot of private practice therapists get this wrong. You should think of your marketing as telling a story. And if it's a story, then your client should be positioned as the main character or the hero. And you should be positioned as that main character's guide. Sure, your experience and background matter, but only insofar as they establish you as an experienced, empathetic, and trustworthy guide to your client. Now, you might be thinking, well, that's not always true. I love it when people I respect and admire give me a scoop on their lives. Like, I do want to hear their story. In fact, I want to know everything about them. Give me all the details. And yeah, this does happen, but it's almost never the first thing that happens. Before you want to know every little thing about a person, before you become their fan, they have to go through a process of gaining your trust and usually giving you something valuable, even if all that is entertainment. Now, this can happen really quickly, and you may not even realize that this process is happening as you're getting more and more into someone's world and becoming their fan. But again, this always happens first. Of course, there's celebrity culture where people just love to consume facts or rumors about other people's lives as entertainment. But unless you're already an established celebrity, you should expect that people don't really care. I mean, I know that hurts to hear, but it's largely true. It's not that you can't share elements of your own story. In fact, you absolutely should. This helps build empathy and credibility, but you should not be the main character in the story. Make your marketing about your client, not you. With the client at the center of your story, you need to be able to name the problem they're facing with clear and compelling language. This should evoke an emotion. It should help the client kind of see themselves in that experience. It should feel sort of like when you're reading a good book or you're watching a movie and you feel like you're experiencing what the main character is experiencing. In order to do this, you need to be able to talk about three different aspects of your potential client's problem. That's the external, internal, and philosophical aspect of the problem. External aspects of the problem would be tangible, real-world examples of how the problem is showing up in the person's life. This could be something like, every time I drink, I get in an argument with my partner. An internal aspect of the problem could be something like, I don't know how to stop drinking, and I don't know if I want to. I don't know what to do, and I'm afraid I'm going to pick the wrong thing. And the philosophical aspect of the problem begins to hint at where therapy might be able to help the person. It could be something like, I shouldn't have to be someone I'm not just to have a healthy relationship. Now, what's really cool about framing this problem in this way is that even if someone doesn't relate to that very, very specific example, they can resonate with what that would feel like on an emotional level. And they can kind of superimpose the details of their own life and the details of their specific problem on that emotional experience. Because maybe they are having an issue with drinking and it's not causing fights with their partner, but maybe it's really impacting them at work. And this example that you've provided really helps them understand that you get it. You get on an emotional level why this is such a big problem in their life and why they need to do something about it. Think about your practice and the group of people that you most enjoy working with. You might already have a defined niche that you love working with in your practice, or maybe it doesn't feel totally clear yet. That's okay if that's the case. Just pick a group of people or an issue that you already know you love working with in your private practice and that you'd love to see more of. What was the problem they were facing when they first contacted you to begin therapy? How did they talk about the problem at that point? What were they afraid would happen if things didn't get better? What were they feeling, thinking, and experiencing? And how is this problem impacting things that were really tangible, like their time, health, finances, or relationships? If you're not already doing this, you should be keeping notes of your consultations or screening calls with potential clients and really paying attention to the words that they're using to describe their own problems. This is such great information to have because so often it's hard for us therapists to speak plainly because we know too much. We have all of this extra information that the general public doesn't have. And so sometimes that really gets in the way of us being able to speak plainly and clearly about our clients' problems. Again, those questions I want you to ask yourself are, what was the problem your clients were facing when they first contacted you to begin therapy? How did they talk about it at that time? And what were they afraid would happen if things didn't get better? What were they feeling, thinking, and experiencing? And how was this problem impacting things in their life like time, health, finances, or relationships? And don't worry about memorizing that. Luckily for you, this is a podcast, so you can always come back to it later. You might have some things coming to mind right now, and this week I would love for you to set aside at least a few minutes with something to write with and really tunnel down deeper into these questions. Now ask yourself, how can you convey a sense of deep understanding of your client's problem and a sincere desire to help? So again, not like a sense of deep understanding about this other thing that they're going to get to in therapy if they stick around long enough, but a sense of understanding about the problem that they're facing when they first reach out to you. The next question to ask yourself is, have you helped others with similar problems resolve or improve this issue? And of course, you can't guarantee outcomes or disclose detailed case examples, but hopefully you can say with some confidence that you've helped people with this problem in the past. Doing these two things, answering these two questions effectively, is how you can establish yourself as a trustworthy guide to help your client down the path of healing. This is also where you can begin to share how you'll help your potential client. This is where you can start to talk about the plan. You can share a bit about your approach and your perspective, but please do make sure to resist the temptation to lapse into jargon-filled, dense paragraphs. How you help should still be clear and emotionally resonant to the person who is reading it. This means making sure it's going to connect with people who aren't familiar with therapy terms or clinical jargon. And of course, you're going to invite people to take the next step with you, which would be something like filling out a form on your website, giving you a call, or booking a consultation. This usually shows up on your website as a button, and these buttons really should go all over your website. Someone shouldn't have to scroll very far on any page of your website to find it. It should be in the menu. We have a couple of different episodes on websites. The one with Sarah Bussey is really great, and she definitely talks about that. So if you want to do a deep dive on websites, I highly recommend that you go back to that episode, and we'll make sure that it's linked in the show notes. If you've effectively spoken to the problem and connected with your client where they're at right now, then they are going to be much more likely to agree to spend a little bit more time with you and actually book that consultation call. Everywhere you market, make sure that you are talking about the problem. Look through your website, your directory profiles, and the last 5 social media posts, if that's how you're marketing your private practice, and check to see if you're explicitly spending time talking about your potential client's problems. And if you're not, then it's time to change that. Maybe when you take this inventory, you'll actually find out that you need to make some really big changes. But if that's the case, I'd still encourage you to start small and just make one change to any of these platforms to speak to the problem more directly. It might take some time to really find the language to do this, and that's okay. I don't want you to feel like you've got to like get it perfect or like have this whole thing totally figured out first. I think it would be great for you to just begin to make some changes and talk about this a little bit more. It might be a bit uncomfortable, but growing into that is part of the learning process around turning your therapy practice into a therapy business. If you're using social media to market your practice, then I challenge you to talk about the problem at least 3 times this week. And I don't care like what sort of thing you're using, whether you're using TikTok or Reels or Stories or Posts, whatever, Threads, I don't care. Just do it 3 times this week. And at the very least, like I said, it will be an exercise for you in finding the language to have these conversations and speak to your client's potential problems. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope this episode has helped you take a closer look at a part of your marketing that is so crucial for your success as a private practice therapist. If you've been pumping out social media posts or getting traffic to your website but not getting those consultation calls booked, then this is likely where your problem is. Use the tips in this episode to change that. Do you see what I did just there? You know by now that talking about a client's problem isn't sleazy, but it's the first step to helping them feel seen, and that's already one of your superpowers as a therapist. So put that to use. I would love to hear your thoughts on the podcast, so please leave a review and a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts if you found this helpful. I'll see you again next week. That's all today for The Bad Therapist Show. Thanks so much for hanging with me. I hope you got some gems that you can start using right away in your own business so that you can break out of good therapist conditioning and build the business that you want. If you've gotten something out of this episode, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with one of your good therapist friends who really needs to hear it. And while you're at it, please consider leaving a rating and/or review so that we can change not just our individual businesses, but transform the mental health system that got us here in the first place. Thank you so much. I'll see you next week for more private practice and coaching tips. Remember, bad therapists make the best therapists.